The only legislation before us today is SB 74, sponsor Senator Zhuroff. Senator Zhuroff, would you like to run through your legislation with us?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. The legislation that we had before was heard last year in the Community Regional Affairs Committee, and then had an additional referral to the Resources Committee, and then also to the Finance. And the legislation pertains to a fisheries business tax credit that was established by the legislature in 1986 as a way to help the seafood processors finance capital expenditures, which was intended to increase product diversity, production efficiency, and capacity, and to hopefully improve product quality. The credit program has been, in my estimation, a tremendous success. It has included a considerable amount of investment in Alaska seafood industry. And according to the information that was supplied by the Department of Revenue, the tax credits granted in fiscal years 88 and 89 totaled about $23.3 million. And these credits were granted for projects that totaled over $60 million. The state investment itself was about $23 million. Seafood processors were prepared to put in over $60 million worth of freezers, docks, processing equipment, new buildings, and much more. And quite possibly we may have somebody here to address some of those particular improvements in their areas. The my estimation, the investment came at a crucial time for Alaska. The ground fish market had long been dominated by foreign countries, and it was just opened up to the United States within the 200-mile limit with the under full Americanization. And this tax credit provided that incentive that put a lot of processors over the line in terms of shore-based processing and establishing four shore-based facilities. Basically, what we've seen was in the production of surimi and cod fillets. And we're finding there that there are a couple of communities that have gone considerably into these areas of production. Kodiak and Dutch Harbor in Alaska are prime examples. The credit has also help the processors develop more competitive and more efficient plants for handling all seafoods, not just the bottom fish. The law as it is right now, processors can receive only 50% of the capital expenditures. And this means that the processors must put their own money into the projects as well. And probably from the technical point, I think there's somebody from Revenue here that can answer that to any questions there more detail. The original tax credit legislation as proposed by former Representative Betty Cato and myself provided for a five-year tax credit program, and as a compromise the sunset date was moved back to 3 years. The tax credit has proved to be such a success that I would like to see the processors have the full benefit of the five-year program. And this was the reason for this piece of legislation, and I think that we are now on the verge of emphasis on shore-based processing, that this would help to further enhance the shore-based processing capability. And of course, as we are aware, that the more shore-based of an operation that we have, the greater the possibilities that the state will be able to recruit or to get back its money there from its investment, because we seem to have a very difficult time collecting any taxes from any of the floating processors. And in many cases, there's no taxation at all once they're beyond the 3 mile limit. So it's to our advantage to have them processing within 3 miles, and definitely an advantage to have them processing onshore. We have a couple of amendments here I think that we can probably address here after a bit, but I guess I could try to answer any questions or maybe call on other people from the industry here, or communities, or the department, to speak on behalf of the bill. It's not been a bill that, an idea that's been supported unanimously by the legislature, because the connotation that tax credits seem to have is that the state loses money and gets nothing in return. But I think what I've been able to find, and from observations and to see the actual activity out there, that this has proved to be just the opposite. And I think there that once the program is completed, that we will be able to see a good portion of those funds returned, and probably multiplied over the years. So I would hope that the committee would look favorably on the bill, and I'd like to see if we can get it back to a 5-year program and round up. I might mention, we also have some communities and some processors that, as a result of the oil spill, are actually losing a portion of the year of shore-based production this year, particularly in the salmon industry. So I think, if nothing else, there, you know, I'd like to give them some equity in taking a look at the tax credit there as an opportunity for them to do what they need to do under this extension.
Why are we taking the, in Section 10, why are you taking the retroactivity back to the start of the program in 87?
I think this takes, there may be a technical problem within the bill itself, and you may need somebody to help explain that particular portion. Just before the tax credit reached the Senate floor in 86, a provision was inserted. Well, wait a minute, no. I think I have a little bit of confusion on that part. Then I think would make it a 5-year program. I don't know if that's correct or not. Madam Chairman, may I have Carl come up?
Yes.
Carl,
identify yourself for the record, please.
Yeah, Carl Olds at the staff of Senator Sharoff, for the record. Madam Chairman, the reason it's retroactive is it's to the date the program started. The bill is to extend, is to make a 3-year program a 5-year program. So it needs to be retroactive to the date the program started. Does that answer your question?
Not really. I know it's making it a 5-year program, but is the program then, does it sunset in 90 without this?
91.
Are there communities who have made investments that are fish processors have made investments that haven't been able to deduct that amount?
Madam Chairman, I believe the program is over with now. It ended December 31st, 1989. And so this would allow that extension, so there isn't, I don't think it's applicable now in 1990.
Oh, this was the original extension, which didn't pass last year.
Right. So we're having actually a void in there somewhere.
So it's continuous if this goes through.
It would be continuous, right.
Or that's intent.
That makes sense. I've got back to
Madam Chair, this is one where I've gotten a lot of questions, and I'd be interested if we have representatives of Fish and Game and DOR here today, or if not, possibly comment at some other point. And that is that as we're getting more boroughs and more cities and people more dependent on the income from the fisheries tax, and I'm talking municipalities, there are an awful lot of people who feel that we are simply not running a program that's very efficient. And I'd like to know the relationship between the Department of Fish and Game and their fish tickets, and how that relates to the Department of Revenue in terms of checking to see whether or not we're getting adequate tax returns filed from the different areas. In other words,
Steve,
there seems to be a major gap, and I don't want to take from Senator Zaroff's testimony.
I think he had finished.
But I'd like to hear information on that. Is that all right, Fred?
Madam Chair, I'll answer Senator Sturdalewski's question, and then if you have any questions about the bill, I can handle those possibly. We do use fish and game information in our tax compliance effort. We have developed computer capabilities where we're able to access directly into the fish and game ticket system. In the past, we have been given runs, computer runs, of all the fish tickets, and we use that information to compare with what taxpayers report on their tax returns. I'll be the first to admit that there is a tax compliance problem in the fisheries tax arena that is not going to be solved by facilitating better communication between my department and the Department of Fish and Game. It's only going to be solved by putting eyes and ears out on the fishing grounds where floating processors are coming and going and leaving behind the remains of the fish but little tax.
Through the chair.
Senator.
When did this computer program become or put in place? When was that done?
To my best recollection, it's been in place about 2 years.
Has there been any checking of that information? I mean, is that a part of your division in collecting to take a look at that information that you have vis-a-vis the actual returns?
Senator, it's routine, and it has been routine for years to use that information. It's just that we're now current. It used to be that we had to wait a year or two as Fish and Game were able to capture the information off the fish tickets. Now that they've got their process of capturing it down so that it's done almost currently as the tickets come off the grounds, we're also able to have a more current handle on our taxes and able to track those that ought to be filing returns and paying. But
what's
again,
your,
let me...
What's your record on that? Are people paying it, or is the state returning fish taxes not being collected? What's the situation?
Our fish tax collections are up. Our assessments are up. The legislature gave me additional resources over the past 2 years, and we've got auditors in the field and fish tax compliance investigators in the field, and you're going to see some increased numbers. In fact, we're putting together a report for the legislature on the fish tax compliance effort, and we're going to be asking for more resources to continue the effort. But our efforts have been fruitful. We, in the first 6 months of this fiscal year, have assessed or adjusted $1.9 million in tax that would not have otherwise come into the state treasury. That's in the first 6 months, that exceeds the best year we've ever had by three times. So, and I think the reason for that is strictly having auditors and Fish and Wildlife Protection and Fish and Game more aware of our tax system and on the lookout for processors that float in and float back out.
Madam Chair,
just to continue this, appreciate the effort that's being made, but what relationship is there between, you're obviously cooperating with Fish and Game, Fish and Wildlife, what effort is made to work with municipalities who obviously are the biggest in the state? I mean, they have a very big stake in this. Is that a routine kind of a thing, if there are problems or some way to feed in their observation and information that they have? How do you work with munis?
With the resources you've given me over the past 2 years, I've had people in the field meeting with the mayor of St. Paul, for instance, the controller out there, with the mayor of Dutch Harbor on Alaska that's present here today, with communities up and down the Kenai Peninsula. Those folks are being made aware that it's to their mutual benefit to assist us in reporting to us any violations that they may see in the tax laws. And we have met with Fish and Wildlife Protection agents in the field. Those are the folks who I think are the most helpful. They're the ones out boarding vessels. Mm-hmm. And as they board, they're now looking for the tax license.
Mm-hmm. Is there any problem in the current law with availability of confidential information to the municipalities? Is that working so that they have, they're able to see the information so that they can make some judgments?
Senator, I think that the bill that we passed several years ago that allowed me to share information with the communities was a compromise. And that compromise is probably not in the best interest of the communities, but it protected proprietary information from being indiscriminately given to those communities. We do have agreements with many communities around the state, but at this point, it's, with the exception of maybe two or three communities, it's a one-way street. They provide me information, but I can't provide them with anything. And it's an obstacle, and one that I think through legislation, we could probably provide more information to the communities to allow them to compare their information with ours. But right now, our hands are somewhat tied.
Madam Chair, that bill, of course, we did, was kind of well fought, but the biggest, it seems to me, the communities that can observe this information really ought to have some sense of what happens out there, and they don't have that. They don't have the whole piece of the pie, and that may be something we want to take a look at, because they're on the scene and they know. And I've just been getting word from communities that that is a problem in terms of having adequate information to know if the correct tax is being collected.
Steve, when we were working on that legislation, the proprietor information was considered where they fish, not how much they made, was it not? That was the testimony we got. They didn't want people knowing where they were fishing.
I think that was one of the issues. But what eventually came out of that was that the department would not share information to a community unless that community had a tax similar to the state's fish tax, and that our information was substantially different than what was reported to that community on their tax return. So we've got a very limiting statute there where, and there's very few communities that have a raw fish tax like ours. So with those communities that don't, the only information we get comes from those communities, and we can't give back to them what we know is going on.
Have you looked at the possibility of amendments that would improve that situation?
We have not.
Are there other questions of Steve? Thank you very much.
No, I have
Steve Frank?
I want to focus just on the overall picture here. I'm looking at your prepared sheet there dated March 14th, 89. And I was just looking at the total tax liability projected for 90 and 91 is 35.4 million. What is that based upon? That's just basically from our raw fish tax?
That's correct.
And that's, what is that? If you first remember on that, that's 3% or something like that?
It fluctuates 3% for shore-based, 5% for floaters, 4.5% for a shore-based salmon cannery, and then the rates on the 3 and 5 drop to 1 and 3% if it's a developing species. But 3% is the basic rate for shore-based facilities.
Okay, so then when the tax credit comes into play, then if they have enough expenditures, it basically cuts their tax liability in half. Is that the way of looking at it?
That's correct.
And I see that up there in the top column. I see approved expenditures 40 million. I'm looking under the 90 and 91. Credit approved 20 million. So a revenue loss of 12.4. Why is the credit or the revenue loss only 12.4? Is that because some did not have enough liability to total their credit?
That's correct.
Okay.
Can they average that forward?
then there's a carryover of those unused credits.
You can carry them over.
That's right. The present law allows for a three-year window that they may take the credits, and they may either invest and take credits each of 3 years, or they may invest, let's say, before December 31st of 1989, and then carry over into 90 or 91 any unused credits. But they've only got a three-year period in which to invest and take credit.
That's still going on now, even though this did not move last year.
Right. Those taxpayers that elected to start their three-year window in 1989 could invest in 89 and carry over to 90 and to 91. So there's still that opportunity for them.
What effect then would the retroactivity of this legislation have? Would they be able to go back and readjust?
That's a good question. The way I read it, I think the senator's intention is that we would go back and those companies that chose to start in 1987 would still have 5 years. Now they would get an additional two tacked on. They'd get 1990 and 91 tacked on as an additional 2 years rather than the three they've gotten plus five more.
And that would be on investments already made?
Yes. If there were credits unused that they had not been able to take. But this would also give them the opportunity to invest more in 1990 and 91.
That's right.
So if I go down the table a little further, I see the next column is 56 million in the credits that are being carried forward that could be used up if we pass this legislation, or even if we don't, I suppose. And then, so we could wind up in a position where we had to, where we'd really have a negative for the current years forward. We could very well have a negative number as our general fund share if we had, if they carried those forward. Would that be possible or not? Maybe not.
Through the chair, Senator Frank, it wouldn't be possible for us to actually give out money that we have.
Okay.
But we could theoretically come down to a zero increase in the general fund.
Well, the question comes, what about the fact that we have only taken the 50% tax credit out of the state share, not the municipality share? Is that what... we could effectively bring our, if all the credits were used, that would take 50%, and the credits equaled the liability, then you'd wind up with all the state share going down to zero. So the state would wind up with zero, the municipalities would wind up with their normal share, and that's a scenario that's possible. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we wouldn't get any revenue, the state wouldn't get any revenue from its billion-dollar fishing industry.
Well, I should correct that just slightly. A lot of the tax that comes in from floaters, and floaters are not eligible. Only shore-based facilities are eligible for the credit. So some of the tax does come in from floating processors that don't get the credit.
Senator Alford?
Isn't that a little bit, I mean, if a company owns a floater and a shore-based processor and can't use the credit on the shore-based tax due, they can, in fact, apply the tax to the taxes owed by the floater, can't they?
They can do that.
And they do.
Madam Chair?
Yes, we do.
Senator Frank?
You guys' position is that you don't support, you never have supported this, have you?
That's correct.
Your department's position. So I assume you would support an amendment to implement or to take out that particular concern there with floater taking credits and applying to tax liabilities for the floating processors that they earn from onshore processors.
We wouldn't oppose that.
Okay. I guess it's not really a question to you, but rather maybe it's to Senator Zarf. Did you consider having the municipalities participate in the tax credit? In other words, having them share in part of it. It seems, you know, that they're the ones that are getting the most direct benefit.
yet you haven't asked them to share in this thing that's supposed to, you know, well, it obviously does do good things for the rural communities. I don't doubt that. I'm just wondering why you don't have the community sharing a little bit in the rural.
Madam Chairman, I believe that there is a mechanism built in so that the communities may share in part there. It does take the, it does, I believe, take the approval of the communities in order to do that.
That's the 75%.
Right. They have the opportunity to participate.
They can participate, but they're not required.
They're not required, no.
And you just, you wanted to give them an option, but not required.
Are there further questions of Mr. Kevin?
Just one, Madam Chairman. We mentioned there that we probably wouldn't reach at 0-0 if we're what you were saying there on the state actually not being able to collect anything. But I guess there's been a concern there that we think of the raw fish tax as being a 50-50 sharing proposition with the communities. Whatever's taken in on the raw fish tax, 50 cents or 50% automatically goes back. But that's not been the case. The state has had, in several instances there, and still does, it collects the full 100% of the raw fish tax from processors. But since there's no designated community in the area, that money is not dispersed back. So the state has been keeping all of that without actually sharing any of that back with any of the municipalities or communities that are in that fishing area. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Senator Frank.
Well, I'm just looking at these numbers here. I'm not very familiar with this area. It says fisheries tax liability before credit applied 35.4, and then down here under municipal share it says 17.7. I think 17.7 times 2 is 35.4, which would indicate that they're getting exactly half. But I don't know. Maybe there's some processors that they aren't sharing, but the figures seem to show that they are. At least.
Senator Halpert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Fred, you did kind of a poll, I guess, in your office, and it brings us to the real questions on tax credits. Do they work, and do they work for incremental decisions that we want to have made? On the question how many plants used the tax credit, it shows your response was that 92% of the plants used the credit. And this is the plants themselves responding, which is surprising me that this answer came back. Did the tax credit encourage processors to invest onshore rather than offshore? 39% said yes. 61% said it was not a factor or not applicable. It would appear that we're spending a lot of money and not getting incremental investment because of the money.
Sounds like a candid response.
Okay, I think probably at that, what was happening at this point here was that the tax credit itself was an incentive for some of them to come ashore. That 61%, we're probably going to come ashore anyway, or we're going to improve on the facilities.
Yeah, well that's the ideological debate you always have on a tax credit. And that is, how much do you get that's truly incremental because you give a credit, and how much do you pay for things that would have happened anyway?
That was getting towards my question on the retroactivity.
But I'm sure, I think probably what may have happened in this situation here, and I think, we went to...
You asked the question, before, Fred.
Right, but what happened before was that I think the original tax credit, when it was available, created that opportunity for people that were right on the borderline to get into it. And as a result of them starting into the shore-based processing, particularly the bottom fish, it just sort of started a chain reaction, and a lot of other people that were planning to get into it just got into it a lot sooner than they normally would have, or just were on a schedule that they were maintaining.
Senator Sturgill,
I think that question is really a misleading question in the sense that we're dealing with an offshore versus onshore, offshore huge factory trawlers versus the real intent, obviously, is to encourage onshore, but it's also that the onshore has value added and does improvements. And so that question, in a sense, is not, people that are going to have factory trawlers and work offshore have many things. When you're talking about the cost of one of those ships, it pales in comparison to the amount we get from fishery tax. And I don't think that the tax credit will have really anything to do as to whether a person will go on or off. Where the issue comes is whether the onshore will make the investment to do more to upgrade facilities. But I think the people that are going to go offshore are going to, I mean, that's a totally different ballgame than onshore. I don't think that one tells the whole story.
Senator Shoroff, it's my understanding that you have some amendments you'd like to make before I go to public testimony. I'd like to know what those are in order that people who are testifying can be testifying with those amendments in mind. Service, right?
Steve, can you tell us if any of the municipalities have opted for the other 25% that they can as well, or would you know that?
Yes, I would know that. Four communities have opted for it. To some extent, we have, I believe, seen them participate to about $100,000 in tax that they've forgotten.
How is that as a percentage of their total?
Anchorage, Pelican, Seward, Valley,
OSC. Right in the country. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You won't be leaving, Steve.
No, no.
We thank you for answering those questions for us. Senator, were you going to present the amendments? Would you like your staff to, or do you have those that you'd like to go through?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. I do have these amendments here, and I would like to have the assistance there of staff. I thought some of these here were basically suggestions that have come about as a result of some of the discussions that we've had with activities within communities that were impacted by the shore-based development. And I know that there's some information here on the Alaska Municipal League assisting in this. I don't think there isn't one community in the state that is not affected by the raw fish tax program, even some of the smaller ones. We had a supplemental go through last time, and I think Fairbanks even participated in that.
I think $166.
Yeah. Was it that much?
Yeah, I don't know.
Got my vote because we got, I thought it was $76, but it was some huge amount.
You may need that.
Yeah, the way things going, we're going to need it very badly. Carl, would you come up, please? And
for the record, Carl, staff of Senator Shoroff.
Holy cow.
This amendment number one looks like a new bill. Would you like to go through it, please?
Okay, this, we asked the drafter to implement the concept that the Alaska Municipal League had asked us about, and this is what the drafter came back with. Pretty much what it is he divided what you could use the tax credit for into three paragraphs, 1, 2, and 3. Rather than being in the paragraph, he separated them. So the third one is the new language. And then the rest of it is for consistency.
Okay, the way this is done with the underlines, words, and cetera is just a little bit confusing. If you'll note on your bill, the insertion starts page 1, according to mine. What does your amendment do?
Okay. The amendment would allow the tax credit for construction, extension, or improvement of a utility, road, or dock to be owned by the municipality or a cooperative, and the object of the expenditure will, in the judgment of the City Council or Borough Assembly, provide substantial benefit to the municipality in which the fisheries business is located. In other words, to help the municipalities obtain funds for the infrastructure that they need to support the processing industry.
Madam Chair? Do you have a question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did. Then what you're saying is that if community, do you have processors that don't have electricity? And they're using generators? Is that the situation?
Could be.
Well, it says construction. So that they could get tax credits off the fish tax to install electrical plants and electricity to the community and the plant.
Yes.
Senator Frank.
I guess I'm confused. Do municipalities pay raw fish taxes?
No, yep. Really? No.
Well, how does this work then?
The theory behind this is right now tax credits are allowed for processors to make capital expenditures. They can improve their plants and so on. Municipalities, when a plant is improved, a municipality has higher costs. There's more demand on the city services. They may need an upgraded water system. They might need to provide more power to that processing plant. They may need to build a new road. And they're looking for the funds to do it. So the proposed amendment would allow a tax credit to apply to those kind of improvements.
Madam Chair, I still don't follow. You have a municipality that doesn't pay a raw fish tax. So if you even got 100% tax credit, you wouldn't change it. I don't see how the tax credit.
Isn't that the community? I think it's that the fish tax then is not owed to the state. That's deductible. Other people do it. Is that correct?
Yes, be deductible.
Oh, so you're saying that if a fish processor was going to locate in a community...
In Fairbanks.
Let's say Fairbanks, for example. Might have one, you know. I mean, there are some fish processors there. That the city could run a road out to that plant and get money from the state to pay for it, but that's what I'm asking. How does that work? I mean, how would that work?
Well, would
I mean the processor wouldn't have to pay tax? Is that you mean the processor could use the
well, the processor the when credit? He applies to the yeah when he applies to the state, you know, say he would forego say I like to put a new machine in my plant. He'd forego that and say I like to build this road in front of my plant.
Oh, he'd build the road.
Under that portion, it would expand the.
Okay, so it'd be for municipal improvements on top of.
Could be water system, generating system, docks, roads.
Utilities.
I see.
Yeah, it would expand the definition of what the raw fish tax could be used for.
Oh, I see. Now it's limited just to fish processing right. plants. Now it could be for any municipal project that would support fish processing. Sorry, I didn't follow.
Senator Lassen.
I'm locating this also. We're talking about 50% of the tax, right?
Mm-hmm. This takes it to 75, does it not?
Not this amendment, no.
But where did the other legislation?
Where did the other 50% of that tax go?
Goes back to
the state. Or yeah, to state to give to municipalities.
When did they use that to build the road?
Well, they're looking at extra expenses.
I mean, I thought that was a reason for the other 50%.
Well, they could
impact funds.
They could do that. What this would allow would allow the processor to participate there with that 50% there that they could apply for a tax credit. With that portion there, it expands their definition of what their 50% credit could be used for. Right now, it's basically for the improvement of the plant. Now, they may need to have an upgraded water system to be able to produce.
Are we saying then that the processor would share equally with the city in the cost of that project?
Not yep. necessarily.
Huh? Not build it all.
Well, could we say that? I mean, I guess maybe that's a better question. Could we say that if in fact the processor is going to use those credits towards maybe a new road or upgrading the water system, that he could use those, provided the municipality would share that cost using some of their money. If it's going to be an infrastructure owned by the city.
Through the chair.
Yeah, the bill provides that the tax credit couldn't be approved for more than 50% of the capital expenditure. There's still that limitation. The processor would not get tax credit for the full cost of the development.
Are the processing plants taxed by the municipalities in the first place? Other than the 50 cents?
Some are.
Seems like they'd have to be if they were.
They're not, though.
There's an exemption in there, too.
Right? Well, no, but there are places that don't have, through the chair, that don't have a property tax base. They utilize fishery tax, other state dollars. So not everybody has a.
So they don't have a property tax, I
know. So not everybody has a property tax.
So, I see.
And aren't there exemptions also?
For what?
Wouldn't they put in some kind of a development
exemption? I don't believe we allow that to pass. I prayerfully hope. But I don't know.
We're going to be in trouble if we're down to that. Voting yes, you probably know.
No, I don't think we passed that legislation.
Senator
Lassen? Well, it seems to me that if you're only allowing 50% of the cost of the project, it seems to me then that the municipality or city or whatever it might, the other entity out there would have to probably provide the other 50% in order to do it.
Where am I getting the 75% of this bill?
I don't have any really problem
with
that.
Is there anything 75% in this bill?
Yeah, there is. If a municipality, by local ordinance, approves 75% of the qualifying expenditure, it goes to 75%. And I assume under this amendment, it goes to 75% on the expanded definition of what qualifies, as well as it does on the existing definition of what qualifies. Is that not correct?
Yeah.
So it does allow 75%.
Paid by the state chair.
Right. But what we're getting down to is that the exceptions have already swallowed up. We're down to arguing about the remaining $5 million left in this tax. Why don't we just repeal it and give them the money?
That's too simple.
Take that as a friendly amendment.
Senator Lass.
Well, my confused is that if they can only put up 50% of a project, I just assume then that the other 50% is going to either come from a state grant or from the municipality's share of their tax. I don't know which, but somebody has to come up with their 50%. Or is the processor going to come up with their 50% plus their tax credit for 100%? What are the options?
Steve, could you answer that?
Did me?
That's right.
See, the municipality, then by ordinance, says 75 is okay. But they contribute the 25 on top of that, on top of the 50.
But somebody's going to come up with the other.
Getting down to a smaller percentage.
Well, Madam Chair, it seems to me that you would wind up with no tax liability. Oh, I should say that. You might still want to have some. But, I mean, you know, if a community, and most communities do want new roads and new infrastructure, and need new roads and new infrastructure, granted. But it seems like the logical thing to do would be to, you know, have a meeting with your local fish processor and figure out a way for the thing to be tied into that. Because most could enhance a fish processor, whether it's a new water system or in addition to a water system. Maybe they need more capacity, more general capacity. Whatever. It seems like there would be a great deal of incentive to ask your fish processor to, to pay for half of it and save them their tax credits, so they would not have to pay any tax. So that could be a dollar for dollar trade there between between the municipality and the fish processor, and have the state pick up the tab for half of any future capital project up to the amount of tax liability owed by the fish processor. And that's an extreme case, I guess, but that's what comes to my mind. You could wind up with a situation where You know, the state doesn't wind up having any tax off the fishing industry, and or no revenue, I should say. It just seems like it goes too far to me.
Well, Madam Chairman, I don't completely feel that way. I think the way that the current system is related to the industry.
Sounds right.
Well, I hate to make a bad bill better or a bad amendment better, but I mean, it says in the judgment of the city council or borough assembly provides substantial benefit to the municipality in which the fisheries business is located. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't say the state has to make a finding. It doesn't say, I haven't read it all that thoroughly, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it's very tight.
Madam Chairman, this was suggested by the municipal lady. Maybe we can have Scott come up.
And we do have others to testify on. What is the Second Amendment?
The Second Amendment addresses a question about the capital expenditure. As Steve Kettle told you, capital expenditures ended as of December 31st, 1989, even though there's a three-year period in which you can take a tax credit. If you didn't make your capital expenditure before December 31st, you do not have a credit. It was Senator Zaroff's original intent that you should be able to have a credit for each year in which you claim, or should be able to make a capital expenditure for each year in which you make or claim a tax credit. And that's the purpose of this amendment.
Are there questions?
Madam Chairman, I guess I'll just make a comment here. I know that the fishing industry does take a beating from the mining industry and the timber industry and everything else, but in tax
careful,
credits,
sir. This has tax, to go through this committee.
Tax credits, have a history of not being beneficial or have been that successful. I think this one has. Looked at it. We've seen what's happened in the bottom fish industry. We're very much concerned what's happening. You know, we've had basically, from what I've heard, up to a $3 billion ex-vessel price product out there, taken in a single year. And you know, certainly that product should have been taxed. And just a small percentage of that was taxed. The part that was taxed was basically that came ashore. And so what we wanted to do is to encourage the development onshore so that we could continue to perpetuate the fisheries here and for the state to derive some benefit from it. And as long as we don't have the processing capability of the shore, it's going to be difficult for us to, as a state, to participate in any of the revenue that's being derived off of our coasts. And anything beyond 3 miles, we have no control over whatsoever. And so it's always been to our advantage to bring this stuff ashore. Not only does it help the processor, it helps the community and helps the people out there. I was skeptical at the beginning when we talked about fish tax credits, and in fact I was very skeptical. I didn't support the original raw fish tax. This raw fish tax itself is not the normal form of taxation that you would pay if you're running a business. Everybody is always, all other businesses are based on the money that you make. The raw fish tax is a prepaid tax. You estimate what you're going to make and you pay the state before you even start to process. That comes off of the top of your operating expenses for that year. So you've created a disincentive right from the beginning. And when what we have seen happen and as a result of this raw fish tax, we've seen processing increase on shore, we've seen processors come ashore. And in those areas where they have, we've seen a lot of community activity in terms of employment, in terms of services. And it's just been something I think that's worked. And I think we started off as a five-year program. And we had, in order to get it through, we brought it back to a three-year program. I think it takes a full 5 years. I mean, even the Department of Transportation doesn't recognize anything less than 6 years if their programs work at all. But I think they're to help this industry along, and we've all seen what happened to the activities offshore with the with those catcher processors. There's no control over them whatsoever, from their catching right to the production and the sale of their products. At least coming ashore, we've got more to work with than just the final product. We've got our DEC has complete control over the product out there. Our Department of Fish and Game has more accurate statistics and information of what's being caught, what's being processed, how much it's being processed. Yeah, it's tremendous benefit to the state to have shore-based processing. I would like to see 100% shore-based processing. Anything caught within our 200-mile limit. I don't care where it is. It's off the coast of California. It should be processed in California. But
is there a federal fish tax that they've got?
No.
No.
Absolutely.
There isn't.
Maybe that's something Alaskans should work on. Are there further questions, Carl?
Carl, maybe back to Steve Kettle. Do we have a list of, maybe that's proprietary, I don't know, that shows us how many offshore processors have come onshore?
Through the chair, my office has not made a list. We know who have taken the credit. There are new companies that have sprung up as a result of the credit, I think, that I don't believe had any offshore connection. There's been new investment made by new investors into the state.
So you're not aware of any offshore processors that have actually moved onshore?
No, but there's a lot of product that's being processed onshore or will be processed onshore as a result of this program.
So it's perhaps more the way Senator Drzewski characterized the increase of onshore processors and their development rather than the actual offshore processor deciding to move onshore. I assume the offshore processor has their capital investment in it, and it is in that configuration in which it can't really bring it onshore unless it gets rid of that ship processor or whatever and was to was to actually go change from being offshore to onshore. Although I guess some companies have both as an indication or other testimony. But you don't know of any that actually came onshore.
Center last.
You said this, some new companies arrived on the scene. It seems to me that, how do you work the credits? Don't they have to have a business creating a tax before they can get a credit? So how would a new company get a tax credit when they haven't had a history of taxation?
Through the chair, Senator Lass, and the way the program works, investment in a shore-based company, whether new or existing, will get the credit. We have seen companies come in and buy existing companies and then stick a lot of money into that existing facility that generates potential credit. And then as that new company processes fish, creates a tax liability, there is the carryover. They may not get the credit in the year they make the investment, but they will the next year as it produces.
But the tax are prepaid?
It was interesting to hear Carl put it that way. In fact, security for the taxes is required up front. Some, but very few, pay the taxes up front. They provide real property as security for a bond or a letter of credit. There's a variety of ways to provide the security for those taxes. Some do pay it up front. That's the only method they have available to them.
So a new company would estimate how much taxes they were going to get on their processing, and then they would file that report and then ask for a credit based upon that anticipated revenues, and then they could make the expenditure based upon that, and when they do reach that point, then of course the does that make sense?
As an example that I think is somewhat strange, because I don't think it happened, at least to my knowledge, I'm not sure that it ever happened that way. But it, as a prerequisite of being licensed in the state, you must secure your taxes. And that applies not just to shore base, but to floaters as well. But I can't recall an instance where a brand new company built a facility, applied for a license and prepaid any taxes. It was the first year for them, but they did all those things in that one year.
I think it's probably one of the downsides of the concept is that someone who, you know, I certainly don't have any problem with people who are in business upgrading their facilities to increase production. But I think I would have a problem if somebody was there struggling away and some new company came on the scene.
It's a good point.
You know, I said, okay, here's a chance to make a capital investment in competition to whoever might be there for years, and all of a sudden you have a situation where the Johnny Come Latelys getting a tax credit, and the person that's been there for a number of years is put in a competitive position also, might not, his position be weaker because of their personal period. I don't know how you could stop that, if you want to stop it, or if you could stop it, but I don't have any problem with somebody upgrading their facilities, buying new equipment, you know, to make better production, to bring more people in.
Well, what happens probably is the competitive atmosphere brings the next guy along the same way. He may be sitting there and see somebody come in and build a new plant, and he's got to compete with it. He's going to have to go out and make investments and upgrade to be able to compete with the other guy. So the effect probably is that you upgrade both of them over time.
And to carry it one step further, I think that's how they capitalize the fleet out there, is through the construction tax credits. And they keep capitalizing.
And pretty soon, the federal tax credits?
Right, and pretty soon their fleet, they're over-capitalized.
Yeah, they're over-capitalized.
And
they
go like that.
Right. Well, it's like,
of course, we're not talking
it's
about
like apartment buildings, you know, in Anchorage. I mean, 1981 tax law came in and encouraged the hell out of building commercial buildings and apartment buildings. And so we had to go out on the market for tax reasons, and probably a lousy example, but yeah, I think the tendency is to overcapitalize if the tax policy encourages it. I would say this encourages it.
Well, the people I've talked to who have been involved in this, of course, you know, it's helped them. It's been a good program for those people that I've talked to at Minnesota. No question about that.
Gentlemen, we have some people from out of town to testify. If you might, I wanted to get these before us before so they could also comment on the amendments.
Are we going to have an actual fiscal note in front of us on this bill? Because I don't know if we've got anything that's on a form that says fiscal.
Yeah, we do.
Madam Chairman, I do have a medical appointment that I need to go to.
Well, it would be my intention then for us to go ahead and take testimony. We will not move the bill out today. And come back with a committee substitute if these amendments are what you want. And I said, yeah, we do. I just got a fiscal note.
Madam Chairman, I might just mention, excuse me, Senator Sulewski, but with the reauthorization of the Magnuson Act, there are several provisions that we're looking for that we think are real beneficial to not only the state of not only to the state, but to the resource itself. One is maximum observer program. The other is 100% utilization of the fish out there, so we don't run into the problem we had last year. And then the other is a shore-based preference, and that targets the shore-based communities and the processing entities out there. That's, I'm hoping that we'll look at this here in that light so that we can, you know, 5 years down the road, that we're looking at more money coming into the state than would have been coming in if we didn't have this incentive in place. I know it's a little bit of a bite right now, but I think that once this program has been complete and ready and has been utilized to its greatest extent, that we will see additional revenue coming into the state. I know the Department of Revenue does not agree with that philosophy thought there, but. It's difficult to argue because I think just watching what's happened to the industry as a result of these 3 years that's been in place now, that I think there's been a tremendous amount of growth as a result of it. But I need to get going.
I just have one question for the sponsor. Did you consider increasing the draw fish tax for floaters as opposed to this proposal?
We can't.
Oh, I thought we had a 5% for floaters now.
We didn't look at increasing that.
You mean within the 3 mile?
Yeah.
We didn't mess with any of the current tax structure.
Maybe it's just, maybe we don't get much, Steve, we don't get much from floaters as a percentage of total take.
It's quite substantial.
So we do get some from floating.
4.5%, is it not?
Madam Chair, before Senator Jarrow leaves, Senator Jarrow, is it your intent that you want these amendments moved? Or do you want to come back? What do you want to do?
I would like to have the amendments moved, and hopefully there'd be support for them, because I think they are good.
I'm not sure that it's there, but.
I just had one question. I thought we were, on a prior discussion, I thought we were just going to extend the program as it is in place now. And have you considered that option?
We've looked at that, and I think that you'll hear testimony as a result of the amendments that have been introduced here. I think testimony supporting that and looking at it from the municipality's perspective, and hopefully they'll be able to convince you on that. I think there that if there's any way to support the industry, that it takes improving the facilities and services provided to them in supporting industry, I think we ought to be looking at that also. And this is, I think, just a suggestion that has come up within the last year, and looking at some of the communities that have been trying to encourage shore-based processing but didn't have the supportive services to go along with it, i.e. Electricity, water, sewer, roads, docks primarily. If you want to bring a processor ashore, if it's a floater, and you want to have it tied up to your community, you have to have some place for it to tie into. So I think probably we'll let some of the people there that are more closely associated with that address that.
One other question before you leave, Fred. Has there been any effort? I know you have the same problem as I have in some of the rural areas where they actually have an impact caused by fisheries. And when it comes tax time, none of the money stays there. It goes to other areas who actually physically process the fish, even though the fleet or the majority of the people who are involved in the industry are causing the impacts on the smaller communities. They don't get not one penny out of the processing taxes. And you looked at somehow or other fitting that into this bill, too, where those impacts could be modified or even nullified?
Not in this bill, no, I haven't.
Have you looked at?
We've looked at the that possibility. We looked at a couple of years ago a pilot program that would have taken at least that portion of the money that the state was receiving under the raw fish tax program that was not going back to any of the communities. Like, for example, Bristol Bay, if there was processing in Dellingham, you could target that tax. If there's processing out in the bay, the state was still collecting that, but Dellingham wasn't sharing with it. Clark's Point wasn't sharing. So what we tried to do was put a program together so that the communities in that area that were impacted by the processing efforts in that area would have a share of that. But we did look at that. And it's, there still, I think, is there's a tremendous amount of money out there that's not being collected. There's a tremendous amount of money out there, I think, that's being collected, but the municipalities aren't sharing in that. And a lot of the money that goes back to the municipalities, of course, not only outruns the local municipal governments, but also the services that are needed to provide service to those processors in that area. I'd be willing to work with something on you on that. I think we need to do that.
It's aside from this,
right? Because at the time we looked at it before, the state was collecting about, I think, and I'm using $21 million, roughly. This was before we had the tax program. That out of that $21 million, half of that, or $7 million, was going back to the municipalities directly, and the state was basically keeping the other 14. So maybe that's an over-exaggeration, but that was about the way it was working.
There's a need out there, bro.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And hopefully when I get back, I'll see you all there.
Good luck.
Thank you.
See you later.
We have Mayor Hughes of the city of Union, Alaska.
Thank you. Been listening to your discussions. Hopefully I can shed some light on the actual practices of this program as it's been going on, and some ideas for Senator Zaroff's amendments here. When we saw the Magnuson Act go through, we knew this fish would be Americanized, but how much of it would come to Alaska? How much would be offshore like it is now, where you never even see them unless someone's busted up enough that they need a hospital or something? Two things we targeted on to make a strategic move at that time, bring the bottom fish industry on shore. One of them was reflagging, stop them from being able to reflag these foreign ships. The other was creating some type of a short-term investment tax credit, a way to bring these guys on shore during the developmental phase. In the fishery, once things are set, it's very difficult to change things around. So we petitioned the legislature for it. There were a lot of questions about it. I think the program has been very successful. I can't speak for every other area. In our area, it's been extremely successful, and we've worked real closely with these guys, and it's important to them. We have given the additional 25% local match in every case, and this year it'll be even more substantial what we've authorized. Now, you look at the sheet, and it shows $100,000, right? Well, Revenue came up with a ruling that we couldn't even give them the money if we wanted to. If they use up all their on the state side and use all that up, then you can take the 25% municipal. So we thought we were giving the money to these people as an incentive. I don't mind telling you that they felt a little bit double-crossed when they came back and said, hey, you guys are going to help us locally come in, and by regulation that we couldn't do it and give them the money. So some of these projects, geez, how are they ever going to get this back? We got a $90 million plant going in. How long does it take to get an investment tax credit back on that? They'll never come close to using this plan either. So it's been real effective for us. In addition, these plants pay additional funds in taxes. We have a 12.2 mil property tax rate. We have a 2% fish tax and on top of the states, and we have a 3% sales tax on fuel and every other items like that with no caps on it. So these guys, in addition, are paying a lot locally. That's why when we came to the legislature last year for water extension, we said we wanted $2.5 million, and we'll match that cash, $2.5 million, not from some federal pot of money or something, but our local taxes. That's where that money came from. So we've been working some deals with these processors similar to this legislation, where they'll come in and we'll tell them, we can't afford to put the utility in. They'll put it in, and then they'll deed it over to the city where we operate and maintain it, except that the city will participate on some level. Maybe they only need a 6-inch sewer line to where they're going. That's one case we got now. They only need a 3-inch, and we said, well, you pay to put that in, we'll pay to upsize it to 6 inches so it can cover the whole end of the road when that part down there is developed. So we're already doing that, and this concept came out of the Southwest Municipal Conference, not so much out of the community of Unalaska and Dutch Harbor. I don't think we would use it all that much, but there's a lot of communities, smaller communities, that want to get into the bottom fishing, and this would really help them. Towns like Akatan, Atka, the Pribilofs, some of the Bristol Bay communities that want to get involved in the fisheries, they need a little bump like this. They don't have all the natural attributes that our port has to draw people in. So this isn't even so much for Unalaska Dutch Harbor, but I think this program would be important. And I don't think it's too much to ask that the local municipalities would have to give it, but then revenue has to let us give them the money. And you can use this to wheel and deal, and we did. And I can tell you in the negotiations that this played a very big part, that we said, there's a 50% state investment tax credit, and we'll put in another 25% when these guys are trying to pencil this thing out. And they've been processing on the water all our life. And we got to convince them to come on shore and make a permanent investment that they can't move somewhere else if there's no fish. That is a long-term investment by that company. And we've got about $200 million in construction going on this year alone, and a lot of it is due to this program.
Senator Frank and then Senator Howe.
Maybe you can share with us then. It sounds. Was this $90 million company an offshore processor?
Yes, they have processed offshore. In fact, actually, the Sereni plant that's going in is coming out of a vessel and going onto the shore because of this. The plant is physically being removed from the vessel.
Can you run those numbers by me again? You said you had a 5% sales tax.
We've got a 3% sales tax.
3%.
2% fish tax.
A local
2%? Local 2% fish tax, and then 12.2 mils property tax.
Okay. And And so they would pay this, the sales tax on the value of the fish they produced, or processed, I should say.
That's correct.
Okay, so you, when you, you wind up with three, two, that's five, plus another three from the state, for a total of eight.
And now that's a big tax disadvantage for a guy who's trying to compete against the floating processor in a high volume, low margin industry.
Right.
Which is
and I don't understand very much how, you know, how the 3 mile deal works. And I guess we get to tax them inside the 3 mile and we don't get to it outside.
And then within the municipality, then it's supposed to be split. Well, if your numbers show that the municipalities are getting half of it, that means they are not picking up any of the vessels that are processing outside the municipalities, but within the 3 mile limit. That's what that particular piece of data will show you.
Would you support a higher fish tax for the floating processors?
Well, at this time, a lot of communities, the floaters that come in that don't catch their own fish, they come in and provide local employment, they provide a market to the local fishermen. Just because they float doesn't make them bad. The problem we got are the guys that catch and process their own fish outside of 3 miles on the high seas and then just come in and, you know, wreck your town or overrun your clinic or whatever it is and don't provide very much to the local tax base. There's no tax on them.
So you wouldn't then? You wouldn't support a higher
tax? I would not support a higher tax at this time. Especially because you're just increasing that burden on the people who are doing some good for the state. Now you take these plants, $200 million worth of construction projects are being done 100% by Alaskan construction firms.
I'm not talking about the onshore, I'm talking about the offshore. The floater is in the 3 mile limit.
Well, for some, it doesn't make that much difference to Unalaska Dutch Harbor. To other communities that don't have shore plants, when these floaters come in, especially like for salmon, where they can't fish year-round, it's only a two-month fishery, it doesn't make sense to put a plant there. It does where we're processing fish year-round.
I guess
I would say no, because not for us, but for a lot of other communities, they're going to say that's really going to hurt them, and especially some of the smaller towns around Kodiak.
Well, it seems like you've got, right now, you have 3% raw fish tax onshore, and you have 5% offshore, right? But then, if you're onshore, you've also got a 3% sales tax in your community, and a 2%.
Yeah.
So you've got the offshore guy that he's got 5, and you got the onshore guy and he's got 8. So the onshore is at a
to the offshore guy, you have to add the 2% fish tax. Even to the floater that operates within the municipality will pay municipal tax.
Oh, I see.
The only thing is we can't pick them up for property tax assessment. They only might be there
a
month or
2 months.
Do they
pay sales tax,
too? They pay the sales tax if they purchase anything in town.
Okay.
Purchase is not sales.
Oh, I'm talking about
the diet. That's right. They'll pay the 2% fish tax.
Okay.
And then if they do any shopping in town
while
they're
there. Fish processors, your fish processors that are onshore pay 3% sales tax? Or not?
They do.
On their purchases.
Not on the value of what they sell.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Okay, I thought you said that they paid a 3% for the value of the fish processed, but no.
No, they pay 2% on the raw fish tax. So the shore plant in Alaska pays 5%, 3% plus 2% fish tax. The floater pays 5% plus 2% or 7%.
Okay, so that really what you need to compare is that is 5% state plus 2% municipal, that's 7% if you're within municipal waters, versus the onshore, which is 3% plus the 2% raw fish tax or 5%. So the onshore does, in fact, have a 2% advantage.
Well, they still
it does, but they
got to
pay property tax.
I'm just talking about that.
But there's other advantages to being onshore. Also, if a floater stays in the municipality the whole tax year, that is considered to be a shore plant, and they're eligible for this tax credit. Correct, Steve? That's right. A floater that stays within the municipal taxing boundaries the entire year is considered a shore plant.
Were you finished,
Senator? Yes, I am.
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out, too. Is there any difference in the definition of state waters and municipal waters? I mean, do municipal waters essentially include any organized municipality out to the 3 mile limit?
It does. In some cases, it may go a little bit further, like in Cook Inlet, for instance. It goes beyond 3 miles, where it's enclosed. There'd be a little sliver in the middle that wasn't. They'd enclosed all that. But those are few and far between.
Okay.
Other than that, just the same. Most municipalities do go out to the 3-mile limit.
So it's really the floaters that are outside the 3-mile limit that are the...
That's right, they don't pay anything.
In trying to figure out that chart that we had, this doesn't include any of the income from the floaters, right? This is just onshore? Well, the reason I'm trying to figure it out is you know, we're doing all this for essentially $5 million. And that's all that's left. It's not already getting used up out of the whole fish tax statewide. It would seem that it would be more effective if it were supported out of some kind of change in the differential between onshore and offshore. Because we're adding a whole new bunch of categories, municipal functions, and it's not going to take any time at all to use up all the dollars that are there and really not have that much effect.
But if we don't change the way it's done, then they can't use it for utilities.
Right. Right. See, but this $5 million left was without that. Once you do that, that's gone too.
But that would only be if someone came and had a new processing idea. These people that right now aren't paying anything who put in a $90 million plant, within 2 more years, the state will be receiving 100% of the fish tax value from that plant with no credit. Well, they can't use up other people's credits.
Yeah, the state will be receiving half of it and the community will be receiving half of it.
That's correct. And that's why we invested in it too. Man, we'll make up this money in no time.
But this would extend that out to 5 years.
That's right.
So this would give them a credit after they made the investment decision. This represents a substantial... Yeah.
And I would say about that, and I'd ask you to take this into consideration, some of these people have been held up in their projects due to the nightmare all of us are experiencing with wetlands permitting and in the building of these plants. Really have some problems.
But Senator Halper's point was the ones that have already made the investment, this would give them the additional time to...
Are you saying it would give them a windfall, or are you saying it would give them additional time?
It would give them more money.
But you could look at it as a windfall, but you also could look at it that they honestly invested in Alaska believing that they could do it this way and take the tax credit. So,
Well, they invested based on a window which included 50% of their taxes each year for 3 years. Mm-hmm. The window that will open after the investment decision is made will be a window that can take either 50 or 75% of their tax liability for 5 years. So there is a substantial difference added after the investment decision is made. We went through this thing before. And tax credits work as long as you're trying to get as much incremental out of them and as little pay for what's going to happen anyway. And that's always a hard one, and you can't administer them forever to avoid any problem that way. But by the same token, that's a consideration you should take into account.
But if you do this one where it goes to a municipality, I don't see how that can be abused, because the municipality has to agree to it. If they're going to own and maintain that and it's going to be deeded over to them, this is going to be a good community development project. And that's why for some of the other people, in terms of the investment tax credit for business equipment rather than a municipal utility, some of the guys are in it just thinking the opposite of what Senator Eliason is thinking here about unfair competition, giving it to somebody new. What they're saying is, hey, we came in under these subsidized rules, and now we don't want our new competitor to have the same advantage that we had. So some of the existing processors may be against this extension. So, because they're just trying to maintain their own deal, see?
Yeah.
That's why I say the municipality takes all this out of it, and if you want to support municipal projects, I would say the company pays for it 100%, it's a 50% tax credit, and you just had private business pay for 50% of an infrastructure development that maybe otherwise that community would have had to come down here 100% for and ask you for a grant.
Senator Lassen and Senator Frank.
Well, just one further comment, which will complicate this considerably further, is that I'm sure Rick Lauber is not to like the statement, but I'm not really convinced that that money is not taken out of the, that tax money is a part of the catch of that fisherman who delivered that product. That's where the money came from originally.
The fishermen pay it.
The fishermen pay it. No, the processors don't pay it, the fishermen pay it, but this argument has been sort of carried on. I'm willing to concede that, you know, the money's being used for not only the processor, but the fishermen too. But the fact of the matter is, it comes out of the cost of that.
You're saying, you're talking about beyond the 3 miles? The fishermen's paying?
No, I'm talking about...
The tax itself.
I'm talking about, that's the only place it could come from is from the product.
Yeah, sure.
And what I'm saying essentially is that the fishermen would probably get 3% more for their fish without this taxation.
The way they support this is it gives them a market. Otherwise, they're the guys that are froze out.
It's not a bad deal. It's not a bad deal. But I mean, there is a lot of concern out there that this thing has sort of turned a little bit, and it's really the processors are digging down their pockets paying the person. It's not true. But it's good for both factions,
sure.
No question.
Sure.
That.
Well, I guess it's a in world market to fish, and got to compete.
Got to come from the fish.
Yeah. If they could get more for it, they would. And they get the maximum they can possibly get, and that's what every business person does.
Are there further questions of Mr. Hughes? Paul, we thank you very much. We have Scott Burgess from the Municipal League. I thought we were going to have a 30-minute session today.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Scott Burgess with the Alaska Municipal League. You've gone from the general to the specific and back to the general, so I don't know that I have that much to add. I've got my written testimony. We do support the legislation, and we do support, I'm not that familiar with Amendment Number 2, but Amendment Number 1. The one that I wrote was more as a suggestion, not in any legalese, but basically I think that the Amendment Number 1 does take care of the concerns raised by municipal officials and in our policy statement. Just to sort of summarize some of the statements you made, you do have a philosophical argument in terms of whether this money is in fact being put back into the industry to make it stronger and bigger, and that the long-term effect is a plus and not a minus. It is a 5-year limit. We're talking about doing this over 3 now, and perhaps under this bill 5 years, and then all bets are off, and we're back to the 100% of the revenue again. The amendment does recognize joint venture opportunities between municipalities and private industry. It is not unusual for industries that are coming in to pay a development cost, whether it is even with a shopping mall, to put in roads to that shopping mall or lights or whatever that are affected to that by that development, and not necessarily borne by the community as a whole, but that there benefits that community as well, and perhaps it makes sense to share those costs.
Scott, that's even evident in like when at the Anchorage Airport, when UPS came in, the state contributed $5 million for upgrading in order to be able to lure them there.
That's right. And I think the long-term, hopefully the long-term effect is that there's a benefit. I think that the senator's comment that when you start giving exemptions, the idea of whether that would have been, would come anyway, that's just, we all play poker sometimes, and you hope that you're making that that bid, and it works. And I think that even if, and I think the Senator Sturzelewski's comment about perhaps the numbers not being correct, but even if they were correct, hopefully we wouldn't want to lose that 30% that said that they did benefit from the program. There are other concerns that the league has as relates to the fish tax, and enforcement, of course, is key. Among that, there is some legislation introduced by the governor on the other side, HB 400, to allow the department to get into making sure those licenses are being, people are getting the licenses, and therefore a better handle on getting fish tickets. There is interest on the league on behalf of the offshore, where in fact the state is collecting money for offshore processing, and where the impact is on the local municipalities, where the municipality is not sharing in those revenues. With the MARPOL regulations, with the dumping of solid waste that those municipalities have to deal with, or as Mayor Foose indicated, clinics or public safety, impacts. And of course, there is something that I think will have to be addressed soon, will be the reduction in all of this money as a result of the spill. That's inevitably going to happen. So we do support the legislation. We do support the extension of the tax credit to allow for investments in utilities that benefit the community, but that may not be there if this, the impact to provide for the utility needs to provide water, sewer, electric, whatever to that processor couldn't happen if this legislation doesn't go through, or if that development doesn't occur, but also may not be necessary if that development didn't occur. So, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. On this second amendment, Scott, it seems to me that if through this legislation you were able, the way I would interpret it, and I'd hope that Carl would correct me if I'm wrong, that the second amendment would say that this same applies, credit applies, if the capital investment or the joint venture happened 3 years from now, that they still have the 5 years from which to deduct the tax, even though the program ended 5 years from now. So it could extend the credit period up to a period of 8 to 9 years. Are there further questions, Scott? Senator Senator French.
Scott, is the municipal league pursuing a solution to that problem we were speaking of relative to the impact on the communities that do not in any way share the taxes? Well, that's a real problem out there.
To the chair, Senator Lyson, it is in our platform as a priority position. We did have our folks in last week, and Senator Zaroff did have a bill in a couple of years ago, and we'd like to resurrect that bill and look at it again. There were some problems, one, in terms of defining the areas, big or small, in terms of where the benefits would return. There's also the disincentives in terms of some municipalities. If you can get that revenue from that fish, there may be less incentive for incorporation out there in larger areas. For example, Aleutians East Borough, one of the main reasons for its incorporation, allow it to happen, I should say, was its ability to get that revenue. If you could get that revenue in any way, in any case, it may not have had that incentive to incorporate, and that was something that was debated and we want to look at. But we do hope that we can get that legislation brought back before the legislature and get some discussion on that, because I think it is important.
Senator French.
I was just wondering if this was a controversial measure when it was brought before your committee. I don't know exactly how you guys were, but the whole idea of extending the fisheries tax credit, was it something that there was some discussion and debate over, or was it just kind of accepted without any debate?
To the chair, Senator Frank, as far as the addition of the utility aspect?
No, I mean the
extension of the tax credit.
The whole idea of extending the tax credit.
Again, to the chair, Senator Frank, the original legislation was supported by the league, and the extension was supported by the league and without controversy.
Okay.
Are there further questions? Scott, we thank you very much. Is there anyone else here who wished to testify on this legislation? Come right here, Mr. Lovett.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I hadn't signed up to testify, but I seem a little fishy if I was in the room and didn't. back to the basics about this legislation when it originally passed, and I think that somewhat still appropriate. If there was any idea at any time that this was a piece of legislation to benefit to fish processors primarily, let me assure you that was never the intention of the legislature, nor was it something that I thought would have ever had a chance of passing this legislature at that particular time if that had been the purpose of it. The purpose, obviously, it has the effect on occasion of being a benefit to fish processors, but it was merely an avenue to accomplish something, and that was at the time we were faced with a large development offshore primarily, and to some extent undercapitalization for fish processors to go into new product forms to better utilize species. When I testified in favor of this legislation originally, I'm always hesitant to make projections, and I try to be factual. Again, no one knows what the future is going to give us, but in this particular case, I testified that I thought it would be beneficial to the state of Alaska.